a $3,000 battery for your home? From APM in Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill in for David Brancaccio. Electric car maker Tesla says it's developing a battery that will allow folks to store and use solar energy at home. But why is a car maker trying to disrupt the power grid as we know it? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer is with us now to explain. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, Adrienne.
So tell us about last night's announcement. What is Tesla planning to do here?
Well, Tesla CEO Elon Musk unveiled a new line of battery packs, both for the home and for industry and utilities. These batteries are descendants of the batteries Tesla developed for its cars. And the idea is these new batteries can be used to store energy, maybe solar or wind power, and then dispense it later at night, when, of course, the sun isn't shining, or when the wind dies down.
And why is Tesla getting into the home battery business?
Well, Tesla sees power storage as a big new business separate from its car business. And it's even building a huge new battery factory near Reno, Nevada.
So who's actually going to buy these things?
Well, Tesla hopes you and me. It's designed that home battery. It's mounted right on your wall, sells for $3,000 to $3,500. And Tesla says that deliveries of that battery will start this summer. And it's being marketed as a way to lower your electric bill, provide a backup in case there's a power outage. Tesla makes a much bigger battery pack that can be used by utilities to smooth out glitches in the power grid. And there's definitely a market for these batteries. Tesla isn't the only company selling them. California is requiring utilities to store power. Utilities in New York are also being encouraged to buy these giant batteries to relieve congestion on power lines.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer, thanks.
You're welcome.
Now, let's do the numbers. Most Asian and European markets are closed today. London's FTSE is open and up ever so slightly. S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ futures are all up. For sports bettors, this Saturday will be Christmas come early. Between the Kentucky Derby in the afternoon and the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight in the evening, there's a whole lot to bet on. All told, hundreds of millions of dollars will likely be wagered. But not all of it in Vegas or at the racetrack. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
The Pacquiao-Mayweather fight could generate upwards of $50 million in bets, which would be a Nevada record. Michael Grodsky is director of marketing for William Hill U.S., which runs over 100 sports books in that state.
80% of the bets that were made have been on Manny Pacquiao, and that's also 65% of the money that's been bet. So we'll be rooting for Floyd Mayweather.
The Kentucky Derby also stands a chance of breaking betting records, but if you want to bet legally on other sports this weekend, Vegas is king.
Well, if you like horse racing, boxing, NBA, NHL, and baseball, I guess it's a gambler's delight.
Known as the Wizard of Odds, Johnny Avello's official title is Executive Director of Race and Sports Operations at the Wynn Las Vegas.
I always estimate that Nevada's probably 3 to 4% of everything that's wagered in the U.S.
Outside of horse racing, Avello says most sports betting in the U.S. is underground. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
In most places around the country, gas prices have been under $3 for the last 6 months. And that put a chunk of money in drivers' pockets. But here's the thing. That money doesn't seem to have done much in the way of economic stimulus. Why? Marketplace's Scott Tong checks it out.
When gas prices shot north of $4, my old friend Gerald took a picture of his gas pump charge and sent it around Facebook. He expressed, in four letters, his dismay. We all remember those days. Now, Gerald and the rest of us have an extra $20 we don't spend at the pump. Where does it go?
At least a good portion of that has always been spent.
Economist Dean Mackey at .72 Asset Management says money tends to leave our pockets quickly.
Consumers aren't so disciplined that they're unwilling to spend additional income that they get. Typically, they do spend at least a significant portion of that additional income.
But that spending hasn't shown up in the numbers. Retail sales are tepid. One possibility is the splurge just isn't here yet. Greg Daco at Oxford Economics thinks the Geralds of the world just aren't convinced that cheap gas will last.
Typically, consumers would want to wait for confirmation that low gasoline prices are here to stay. We still have yet to see the full benefit
That may come soon now that the long winter is over. But one person who's not waiting is economist Ed Herz of the University of Houston and the oil and gas firm Hill House Resources.
These predictions are wrong. There is no direct tie between lower gasoline prices and increased GDP.
He argues money not spent on gas goes to other things, to pay off debt, and in some cases, to buy health insurance required by Obamacare. As for those Wall Street analysts who predicted a spending boom, keep in mind, Hearst says, who they work for.
They're cheerleaders for the market. They're not going to stand up and say, hey, this is just temporary. Just take your $20 and put it in your mattress. That doesn't sell them any shares or bonds or economic activity.
Now, will the numbers back him up? There are tens of thousands of economists with varying views on a coming spending binge. One will be right, Hearst says, and good luck figuring out who that is. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
We'll get first quarter earnings numbers from Berkshire Hathaway today. And tomorrow, Warren Buffett will host the company's annual meeting. Apparently, part of the fun when you're there is shopping for Berkshire products. Last year at the event, investors reportedly bought nearly 1,400 pairs of boots and 13,000 pounds of See's candy. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Tobin Lowe. I'm Adrienne Hill with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.